Just the two of us.
You and I. Have I said this one on the pod before?
You said we can make it if we try is the lyrics, but it's fine. Whatever. So it's just Steph and Diener today. We don't have our referee to coordinate our silliness.
Or take care of our roadcaster because we actually recorded 10 minutes of our first of our conversation here. Actually, we did not record the first 10 minutes.
We
didn't.
We had to redo it. We're like, we're just not even going to talk about this. But as soon as we hit record, we're like, we got to talk about this.
We're all human. Yeah. And actually, our guest today tells us a little story about, you know, a similar technological slip up.
It's technological a word.
So welcome back to the Horse Poor Podcast on this fine Sunday morning.
Oh, it's super fine.
Stevie is not with us today, but that's because she's just driving back and forth, dealing with all her mares. So to be expected. She said she was in like Fox Creek, White Court area, so it would probably just be crackly if we called anyways. So yes.
So we miss her. If she's your favorite host, you would just don't even want to listen to this episode. Just kidding. Just kidding. No, she was with us in spirit, but baby mama is like down to go drop off a horse. I don't know if she's bringing any back.
I can't hardly keep up.
Nope. We don't know what's going on. We just know that there's going to be babies.
Foals, breeding.
Human
babies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she is literally like 7 days out.
I know. It's crazy. Ugh. We're going to have the little peewee barrel racer here in no time.
I know.
We shouldn't say that. What if she doesn't want to be a barrel racer?
Maybe she wants to be a roper.
Yeah.
Maybe she wants to ride bulls.
Maybe.
Anyways, so Steph, I've been like literally dying to hear the story as to how you on your way back from Grand Prairie.
Oh, yes. That was, you know, a week or so ago. So I bought a couple of horse shelters.
And a donkey one.
Yes, and a little donkey one. And they were a little ways away, like a couple hours away from me. I mean, hindsight is 2020. I probably just should have paid a little more from UFA and just went that far. But anyways, so I decided to drive to Sexsmith for these sheds. It's kind of a windy day.
Were you by yourself?
I was by myself.
Oh, gosh.
With like, you know, just the flat deck trailer and the pickup. And I asked this guy a few days before. I'm like, okay, what do I need to tie down? I want to make sure I have all the things. Do I need chains? Do I need straps? And will you be there to like help me load and tie down? Because I'm coming by myself and I want to make sure like I'm safe because I'm a little nervous about hauling these big sheds because they're big.
You're a strong, independent woman, but sometimes you just need a guy to help you with the straps.
Sometimes you just want to, yeah. And you are supposed to be responsible for your own load. So at the end of the day, I should be responsible for my own load. So anyways, so I get there, we load up, they help me tie down, and I'm just like not feeling super confident. My donkey shelter was fine, but the horse shelter was really tall.
It is tall.
It's quite tall. Yeah. And you know, like I'm like, ooh, is this thing gonna catch some wind? And so we had a couple straps on, and the guy's like, oh no, this is all we ever do. I'm like, oh, okay. So then I put a third one on. I'm like, okay, this will make me just feel a little better. I'll put a third one on.
Put a third one on for grandma.
Put a third one on there. So I checked my load like a few times. I pulled out a Sexsmith, like where I turned to go to TP Creek. I was like, I'm going to take that highway. It's nice and quiet. I'm not going to see any traffic. I can just putz along. Mm-hmm. So I checked it there. I stopped at the TP Arena. Then I stopped again at Wanham. So at least three times.
Yeah.
And then not
How
long.
How fast were you driving?
Max 80.
Max 80. Yeah.
So I was going slow. Yeah, so I get a little bit farther after my third strap check. And, like, they're tight, but I feel like there's, like, air getting underneath my shed. Like, I feel like it wants to move on the trailer still. So that's why I check my straps. They're tight. I'm like, okay. There just wasn't enough straps on. But anyway, so some air got under the back big shelter, and it was airborne. Like, it was literally, like, I looked back, and this freaking shed is, like, in the air, like, half in the air. And then, so I, like, hit the brakes, and it kind of, like, it slams back down on the trailer. So two of, like, the two back straps, the extra one I put on and the back one, came off. And so this shed, like, slams back down on the trailer, but then it, like, landed kind of cockeyed. And so I pulled way over to the side, but, like, the shed was still sticking way into, like, the other lane. So I was like, oh, my gosh, like, I need help. I couldn't push it on. It was too heavy. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm walking to the nearest farmyard because, like, I need a tractor or, like, a man or two to help me here.
Yeah.
But then, like, I'm kind of scared of people's dogs, so I wasn't super excited about walking into, like, a random farmyard.
Wouldn't recommend.
And there's, like, semis driving by just thinking, like, I'm the biggest dumbass.
What if one of those farms was, like, Robert Picton?
Yeah, you just don't know where you're walking into.
You might be fed to the pigs.
Yeah, or if they have, yeah, like the Rottweilers. I don't know. So I was like starting to walk down towards this one driveway, and I seen these people go by me, but they like turned around, and I seen them coming back, and I was just like, oh, thank God.
What if they could have killed you?
No, they were like, they were the best people ever. I still need to find their address.
Were you walking down the highway at this point?
Yeah.
Just like walking, hitchhike, being a
hippie? I was walking down the highway, but there was a driveway close. Like I had actually started walking into a driveway.
Yeah.
And so they pulled over and they were like, oh, we seen what happened. And then we seen it was just like a girl all by herself. Like we had to turn around.
Oh,
like,
what good people.
I think I like nearly started crying at that point. I was like, thank God these people showed up. And so with the three of us, so there was a husband and wife, Art and Jocelyn, and we were able to push it back on, and he showed me how to strap it down, like actually. Art knew what was up. This nice farm couple, they had a trailer with an auger on, so I'm like, I hit the jackpot. So we pulled the truck into the driveway where I was walking. And we got resituated. I took pictures of it. It's actually still strapped down right now. I took pictures of it because I have one more shed to go get. Yay.
Yeah.
So, but I learned something new that day. Art taught me how to really tie a shed down. So now I know.
I was going to say, was Art like super disappointed in like what happened and how it was like tied down? Was he kind of just like, why would you leave the yard like that? Or like,
he was pretty good about it. He was pretty good. Yeah, he was pretty good. He was really nice. Like, yeah, there could have been some people stopped. It would have been like, you idiot, you know?
Yeah.
And then so we were actually just finished strapping it back down. And the people who actually live in that farmyard pulled in and they were like older people and like didn't seem impressed. We were in their driveway. They were kind of like, so I'm like, right there. I'm so glad that these people turned around because there would have been nobody home anyways.
Yeah.
I would have just been.
What would you have done? What would your plan be?
I don't even know.
You'd call Bren and be like, come get me.
You have to come get me. I know, because the thing was like, I didn't know if it would stay on the trailer like to get into the driveway even, because it was like, it looked like it would tip and fall off at any second. Like it was not on the trailer good. So yeah, that was my trip. But it's all a learning experience.
Didn't you give them gift cards?
No, I want to send them gift cards.
Oh, you want to send them gift cards.
I know their name and their last name and area. So, yeah, I was thinking I should send them like a keg card or
something. Did you find them on Facebook?
I haven't yet. I haven't crept. So I'll have to find those nice people. I lucked out so much.
There is good people in this world.
Yeah.
Not everyone's out to kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. I find, you know, most farm and rodeo folks are pretty darn good. So yeah, what have you had any great life experiences lately?
Oh my God.
Have you learned any lessons?
Okay, last night was so scary. So we were cleaning our house and we put the power on and we were like, I was washing walls. Cole was bleaching like the bathroom and out of nowhere, like the radio just starts blaring powwow music. Like,
oh yeah.
I was just like, what? Like I actually like almost peed a little bit, and Cole like actually got scared, and he has
was it like a local radio station or what?
It was CFWE.
Okay.
Yeah, I love CFWE. It's like so they had like just powwow music blaring and it was like full blast, and like, you know, you're not expecting that. And so I jumped out of my skin and like I want to sage that place. I mean, I think it's because we like left the radio on and then it just didn't pick up a signal for like the first like 20 minutes
and
then that we
all
were
of a
there.
Sudden it was like bam.
But still scared me. But yeah, I guess like
you've been working on that, so that's exciting.
Yeah, our kitchen cabinets are in 2 weeks. Our windows are in 2 weeks. I think we're going to do like custom doors for the cabinets. We're going to use like wainscoting or something to make it a little rustic, a little different. But
cool.
Yeah, like not a whole bunch. We have, I mean, fingers crossed, we have some jackpots coming up. Yes. But who knows? So I've been like riding, but not like every single day like I should be, I guess. Just with how work has been, it's been like crazy. So I guess and we had a snowfall, like a huge snowfall here the other day. So
yeah, it snowed like 6 inches. But but I think in a couple more days it'll be good again.
I think so. And Steffi is getting I'm gonna help her build a round pen. And I'm going to have my horses here. And we're going to take content all summer long.
Yeah,
it's going to be so fun.
Yes. Lots of drills. Yes. And TikToks, maybe.
TikTok.
I had a horse baby.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Paint stick.
Yes, you have paint stick. And our cow is calved. So we have our baby cow.
Are you all done? For 100%?
100%. For 100%.
All healthy babies.
Clyde came through with breeding those. Well, I guess like they were heifers last year, but they just keep having bull calves. So we're going to sell these, buy another cow with what we sell them for. But honestly, we just want to keep growing our herd like debt free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we have a couple, and then we have our bull, and Yeah, yep. Hopefully get them out there so I could just go rope them every day. Just
will you bring them to your place or will they stay at the ranch?
They'll come to our place.
They will?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. You're probably excited to get that place done and then your parents can come up too and see it.
I know, Mom. Come see
She'll
me.
Be excited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad already, he's like, it's so funny. He'll talk with me on the phone for like 3 hours and he's like, and don't get the expensive furnace filters because that's just a ripoff. And it's just like the most dad things ever. And it's like,
I'm not worried about the furnace filters yet.
Yeah, I think I'm okay, but okay. Like, but yeah,
he can come check it out and give it the inspection.
Well, he's coming to paint.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
He likes painting. And then my brother, he's going to come paint. I feel like I've never talked about my brother on this podcast. You probably never talked about your brother on this podcast.
Yeah. Either. Yeah, what the frick?
Yeah. Oh, question. Are you the golden child or is like he the golden child?
He's probably like, he's more involved. Like, I'm going to say he's the golden child, but like, yeah, I don't know. That's a hard one.
Oh, my brother 100% is the golden child.
Like, I was definitely a bigger shithead and I caused my parents more problems all throughout school.
Same.
But I was like funny and lovable. Oh. And Corey's like been like quiet, but he's always wanted to farm and now farms with my parents. So, you know, they're pretty tight and stuff. But
yeah.
We're both pretty gold. Oh. My parents lucked out.
I wish I could say the same.
Therefore, they would probably argue that.
Anyways, off topic, we need to talk about paint stick.
So CJ, she's my paint daughter of Dr. Nick Barr, and I bought her off of Chelsea, and I sent Chelsea a picture of paint stick, her baby who come out of paint.
Yep.
And she's like, oh my gosh, that's the first paint in so long. Of course it is.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think there's definitely people out there who will be excited to have like a fast running, turning paint.
What do you mean people out there? Are you planning on selling paint stick?
I think he'll probably be for sale.
Yeah.
I would keep him too because he is by Famous Playboy and I really want to ride a Famous Playboy.
Yeah.
So I think that cross will be fun. He's going to be big.
Yeah.
So if you're in the market for a potential tall paint running turning prospect, get at me. White. So yeah, that's exciting. And that's Stevie exciting. It's exciting. And Stevie has a couple folds on the ground too, but she'll have to give us we'll have to have an intro that's just about Stevie and her new foals and human baby here soon.
Yeah.
Or a full episode maybe because she's we'll got lots like going on.
We'll do an update episode.
Yeah, we might have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so one more to go. Teddy and Tipsy baby is due May 4th. So hopefully by the next episode, there's another little foal here.
Hopefully. And if you guys haven't checked out Burnt River Quarter Horses, mm-hmm. Check them out.
I love it. But yeah, I'm so excited about these young stallions that people are barrel racing too.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah. And that leads right into our guest because she just set an arena record on the stallion that she's running at arena she's only been to twice. And that is unbelievable. Like, I think she ran a 14.6 in that arena. Hate on me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure because I was creeping around. I was like, what?
But yeah, cool.
Yeah,
so badass.
So cool. And we're not going to keep you from her any longer.
Yes, we are so excited to bring you this cowgirl who is not only a winner in the rodeo arena, but also she just sounds like the most genuine and humble person. She's a Calgary Stampede qualifier, a two-time Canadian finals qualifier, a two-time American semifinals qualifier, a $20,000 slot race champion, the Cloverdale Rodeo champion. She's been to the college national finals and most recently set the arena record in Rimby, Alberta. Please welcome Shelby Spielman. So thank you so much, Shelby, for coming on the Horse Poor Podcast. We're super excited to chat with you today because we know you've grew up in the States. Now you're up in Canada. You've excelled at rodeo. And then recently here, we're seeing that you are killing it at the Futurities as well. So we're really excited to talk about a mixture of things today.
Just all the things.
All the things.
So let's start with maybe your introduction to rodeo and where you're from and how you ended up in Canada.
Yeah. So I'm from Dalhart, Texas, which is the not so fun part of Texas, you could say. It's cold and windy and dry. I have kind of always been around horses my whole life. My parents farm and ranch. So We use a horse every day, no matter what the job is for, probably.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've kind of grew up doing it. Like, I've roped, ran barrels, ran poles, tied goats, did the whole deal in junior high and high school rodeo, which is kind of fun.
Yep.
And then I went to college, and I met my boyfriend, Keely, who is a Canadian, and he talked me into coming up to rodeo in Canada. I think it was 2018. And I guess the rest is history. My horses love it here, and I love it here, so I always enjoy the chance to get back here.
So are our winters similar to your winters down in Texas? Or was it like a big change, like coming here temperature-wise?
It's hard to, like, it's different, but we definitely don't get, like, as much snow as you guys, but it's always kind of cold where I'm from. Keely came down for Christmas a few years ago to my house, and we had a blizzard, and he said he'd never been so cold in his life. So
really?
I don't really know what that says about it, but yeah, like, it can get pretty cold and disgusting there, and we're not prepared for it usually, which makes it 10 times worse.
You know what's actually funny is I started breakaway roping, and I would just sit on YouTube for like hours and watch like YouTube videos of girls roping. And I actually watched you rope because I was watching a Pinoca Jack, like a random Pinoca jackpot that was on YouTube. And I was just like, oh, wow, look at all these girls are doing so good. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but we're going to give her a go.
Try to learn here on
YouTube. Yeah. And it looks like you're a super good roper. So are you like taking advantage of all the breakaway that's now in Canada?
Yeah, I would say so. I actually sold my good breakaway horse last summer. And so I just have some young ones right now. And then Keely has quite a few young heel horses that I've kind of stolen, converted to the breakaway a bit. And so we rope every single day, which is nice too, to give my horses another job. And for me to think about something else in my horsemanship, I feel like it's 10 times better whenever I'm roping as well as riding barrel horses.
Yeah, switch it up a little. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Pardon my ignorance, but is breakaway roping part of pro rodeo as well? Is it an event at pro rodeos too?
Yeah, they just started having it the last year that we Canadian rodeoed, I guess.
Oh, okay.
And it was kind of just in the works of getting to every rodeo, which will be a cool thing whenever we do get to rodeo up here again.
Yes.
Well, I think they had like some kind of event where if you like, there was a bunch of girls and whoever went to the top, like went to the CFR or something, right? Like there was some kind of,
Cool. Yeah. They had, they had some jackpots that were like CFR qualifiers. Mm-hmm. Then they did have it at some rodeos too. And they did have it at the CFR. Mm-hmm. So that was good.
We were there. You probably just don't remember, Steph.
Probably too many drinks. Oh, geez. So, of course, on the Horseport podcast, we would love to hear about all of your horses. So maybe let's start with the superstar that a lot of people know.
Hot Donna.
Yeah. Let's hear a little bit about her. Maybe like how she's bred, how she came into your life, and what you guys are up to today.
And then you can tell us about your other babies.
Mm-hmm. We're excited for those.
Okay. She is by Dash to Fame, and now I can't remember her mom's name, but she was Jessie Telford's mare that she actually college rodeoed on, so that's kind of cool. And so she's a full sibling to Jessie's good horse, Cool Whip, as well, which is another thing.
Oh, neat. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So she's kind of special to me, and then Jessie has one that's special to her, and they're both bred the same, which is cool.
Yeah.
I got her in, I think it was 2017, the end of 2017, November, I guess. And I drove up with a college roommate, and she had a couple horses lined up for me to try. They weren't Hot Donna. They were two other ones. And she actually is neighbors with Jesse, best friends. So she was talking to Jesse on the phone whenever we got there, and Jesse's like, well, she can try Hot Donna, like, in the morning while you guys are waiting to try those other ones. Like, she's not really for sale, and I don't really know how it'll go, but we can try it out. So, of course, I jumped on the opportunity, knowing that she was a bit out of my budget. So I got on her, looked her through the pattern twice, and like knew she was the one that I wanted, but I still had two other horses to try that I actually thought I was going to maybe take home. And I definitely probably didn't even realize how amazing those horses were because I was just like dumbfounded about how Dawn and could only think about her. Yeah. And then, so I got her vet checked while I was up there and like that all went well. And then I was like, well, like she's out of my budget, so I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess I'm just going to go home and hope that somehow it works out. So like a month went by, I think, and my dad said, like, I can really tell you're sick about this horse.
Yeah.
So with the help of him, we got it figured out, and I went back and got her on American Thanksgiving Day, and then I brought her home, took her to a jackpot at the beginning of December, or I guess it's a bigger barrel race, but she won second the first day and then ran the fastest time the second day, and it was kind of where it all began, was right there. Bam. But she's been special since the first run I ever made on her.
Yeah. Your dad sounds like the ultimate rodeo dad.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
And so did you guys go right into rodeoing, or what did that look like for you and Hot Donna?
So I guess the first thing I actually entered that was like pretty big was the American qualifier, the last chance in Glen Rose, Texas. Okay. And she actually won that. And I was like, holy cow, like what is going on? And then she took me to the semifinals that year and I made it back to the performances, but then I hit a barrel, but I was still so pumped because I
What an accomplishment. To have
4-star like that, I hadn't really felt it quite yet. And so I was just kind of along for the ride because she was so awesome. Yeah. And then we went on to college rodeo that semester of college, and she helped me make the college finals, which was really exciting because I was kind of coming from the back end to get there, and she made it happen for me. So that was kind of where it all started. Like I bought her to be, with my main focus being college rodeo, like I just needed something to get me through because rodeo was paying for my school. So I felt like I needed to have my best horse and do the best I could to make an effort for my coach and my team.
Yeah. And then, so then after college, did you guys continue right on to pro rodeo?
Yeah. So I actually had filled my permit, my senior year of high school, whenever I could get it at 18 on, two other horses that I had high school rodeoed on. And so I had my permit filled and I was able to get my, rookie card the first year I rodeoed in Canada. So I guess that would have been 2018. I actually drove up here from the college finals in Casper, Wyoming. And our first rodeo we went to was with Wainwright, and she won that. And I don't know, that she's just amazing. Like,
oh my gosh, she kind of
so cool.
Steps up to the plate whenever she knows I need it. Like I was a little bit nervous about coming up here to rodeo because I like the ground and the setups and everything are so different. And whenever she won Wainwright after coming, like the college rodeo is in a tiny indoor, so that was a complete change of setup, like a huge outdoor. And I think I won third in the long round, and then she won the short round and the average. And I think, and she placed at High River and Sundry that weekend too. Wow. So I was like, what a way to start my first season in Canada. Like, I couldn't have actually asked for anything more. I could have went home after that weekend because I was so excited.
Aw, the Canadians are probably like, who is this girl?
So did you probably came up here, like we're a little bit farther north. I feel like it's been just like so wet every freaking summer.
Yes.
So you probably like you've probably seen the worst of the ground, honestly. Maybe we'll have a normal summer.
I know. That's what I'm hoping. Like 2018 was a great year. The ground was awesome everywhere we went. Like it rained a couple times, I guess. And then 2019 or whatever, the last year that we had CFR and I qualified for it, I was like, Donna doesn't love mud either, so everywhere we were running in mud, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I need to get out of this place.
And so will you do a bit of rodeo like in the States and Canada still, or you're pretty much permanently here now?
I'm thinking if there's not any rodeos up here, I will probably go south for a bit.
Go visit
maybe hit
home.
Up like the Montana and Wyoming. Yeah, maybe go home. Yeah. But if there's rodeos up here, I'd really like to go to them. Like, I love Canada, and I think the committee's doing an awesome job. And it's so nice, like, you're able to be home every night. Mm-hmm. You don't have to drive so many miles and then be, like, staying at places. That's my favorite part about Canada. My horses get to come home and be in their pen every night. And I think that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, that central Alberta location is excellent for, yeah, anything rodeo and barrel racing, because it seems like most of the events are within, yeah, a few hour radius, or a lot of them anyways. And mm-hmm. Or Alberta yeah. seems to be pretty yeah. concentrated for events when it is a go. So central Alberta is a yeah. good place to be.
Is that like yeah. one of the biggest things you notice, like rodeoing in the States versus rodeoing in Canada, was being able to be home, or was there any other differences?
Yeah, I would say being able to come home every night was a huge difference. Like, as far as rodeos, I remember the first time that I saw an intermission at a rodeo, I was like, what the heck is this? Like, we're actually taking a break in the middle of the rodeo. Like, who does this?
And not just like a clown show, like this was an intermission?
Yeah, like it was like 15 minutes long or longer, and they were just like working the ground. I think it was at Falkland. Like, they worked the ground, and everybody got off and had a beer and just hung out for a bit. Like, this is the longest rodeo of my life. What is going on? But it was fun. I wasn't used to that.
Yeah. It was just different. Casual Canadians.
Yeah, exactly. I think, like, running off the track is a different kind of thing, too, for me from the rodeos I went to down south. But that was kind of a learning curve for me, like how to set my horse up whenever you are running at such different angles to a first barrel.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you and Hot Donna like clicked instantly. So was there anything that you did in your drills at home and how you rode at home in order to make it so successful for you? Or was it just kind of fate, you think?
I don't know, honestly. Like, I feel like she was made for me. I don't, that mm-hmm. sounds really cheesy and dumb, but like, I don't ever work her on the barrels. I ride her out in the pasture or down the road. She like just knows her job, and it was easy for me to figure out her style somehow.
Yeah.
So I guess it was fate. Like, I don't know the last time I worked her in an arena. Like,
really?
I just exercise her and I rope on her too. She's actually a super nice head horse. I think if she ever made me really mad, which she hasn't, I could probably sell her as a head horse before I could a barrel horse. But
that's cool. So is there any, like, I wonder, direct dash to fames that are like killing it in the roping pen?
I'm not actually sure about that. I know like Jesse ropes on Cool Whip too, but they train. Like, I think that is a big part of why Hot Donna is Hot Donna. She has always had to have a job, and she knows you can actually do everything on her. You can run poles, tie goats, break away, head off of her. Like, she's never just had to be just a barrel horse. So I think that's made a huge difference in her mindset and, like, why she loves running barrels.
Yeah. If you do a whole bunch of other stuff and then they'd like running barrels, they probably just naturally take to it even more, because they're like, oh, this is easy. The one I want to do.
Exactly.
So can you let us know a little bit about your other horses you have up and coming?
So I guess he's not really up and coming, but I have my little sorrel, Walter. I ran up the CFR a bit the last year we had it. And
I love that name.
Me too.
He's my indoor horse. He kind of gets, I guess, put behind the scenes a bit, but he's played a huge part in my rodeoing too. Like, he's a great little guy, and I feel bad because Donna always gets the limelight, but he's actually the reason I made the CFR the last year.
Really?
I made it by a dollar because he won the last rodeo of the year, and I had to win it. And I was like, I think he just did it because I was like so not there in the run. I was just like, I hope it goes good. Here you go, Walter. Run at Hannah in the 12-second pattern.
Okay, wait. So you had to not only get like second or third, like you had to win it at that specific rodeo?
Yeah. So that year it just wasn't like I was placing at the bottom a lot, which is fine, but those are just $100 checks. So you kind of need a few big hits here and there, and it just wasn't happening. And I actually had missed entries at Pinoca that year. I thought I entered, but I used my phone and it didn't work. So I had to sit that one out, which, and Donna likes it there.
Oh,
so that
my
was
God.
My bad.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
I was sick.
Yeah.
I cried over that one. I'm like, oh God, you're an idiot. What were you doing?
Just didn't click one more button or something. It's so easy to do that. I've done that with like banking on my phone too. You know, you think you put something through and you didn't click one more time.
Like it's so handy until it's not. Mm-hmm. But So I was just kind of behind that year, and I was flying back and forth from college to these rodeos every weekend, just like hoping that something would work out. And actually Donna had tied up really bad, so I didn't even get to run her as a lot of the rodeos at the end of the season. And I was just kind of in a predicament, like whenever you just get in a hole and seems like nothing's working and your horse is hurt and you're just disappointed. And Hannah's the last rodeo of the season, and I entered it, but I was like, there's no way in heck that I'm going to win first. Like I shouldn't even waste my time coming back. And yet again, my mom and dad were like, don't be that way. Like, get on the plane. Go do it, have fun, and whatever happens, happens. And luckily, Walter stepped up to the plate and, like, won the rodeo. I was,
oh my gosh,
like, so I was so shocked and thankful to have a horse that, like, he didn't run that much that summer because I had Donna. And then for him to step up, like, it's kind of hard to ever be mad at a horse that can do that.
Oh my gosh, no doubt.
Yeah, we made it by a dollar.
That's crazy. I just want to go back to saying that, so you were flying back and forth from the States to Canada in between rodeos?
Yeah, so I went home. It would have been like the end of August because I had to get back for school. And I left my horses up here. Donna was at Cooley because she had tied up so bad, and I just needed her to come back and be happy again pretty much. Like, it was pretty bad. So she was there, and I actually think I flew back for, I turned out of Medicine Lodge, then I flew back for Armstrong. I couldn't run Donna, so luckily Taylor Manning lent me Merlin for that weekend. So that was really fun to run him, but I didn't want any money. And then flew back for Olds and one more rodeo, and I still didn't win any money. And I, like, my name was, like, just right at below, but I needed to win. Like, I was just getting to the point where flying back and forth wasn't fun anymore, and I wasn't seeing, like, the results I was hoping I would.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I flew back for probably, like, 5 or 6 rodeos, like, every weekend.
Wow. Yeah, that would be exhausting, too.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, and, I mean, on a college kid budget, I was like, is this even, like, realistic? Like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
My parents are pretty supportive and, like, actually kind of forced me to come up here for that last one. So
gave you that,
I don't
push.
Know. It's all in. Yeah. Like, it was just crazy.
Okay. So I feel like you said, like, Walter doesn't get to stand in the spotlight much. So I feel like we need to hear a little bit more about him too.
I want to know about Walter.
Yeah. Like, how did he come into your life? And, like, let's just hear a little bit more about Walter.
I want to know what he's bred like too.
Yeah.
So I called rodeoed with a girl named Casey Cam, and I had a boxer run him, like, I think it was the year that I got Donna, actually, at the college rodeos, and I couldn't get it over how nice he was. Like, he's just a small horse, but he would just, like, he could run and turn and make, like, stop the clock off, and it looked effortless for him. And just joking around, I had told her, like, hey, if you guys ever decide to sell him, like, let me know. And she's like, yeah, whatever. My mom doesn't want to sell him. I'm like, okay, whatever. So then I guess it was 2019, I think. She texted me and was like, hey, my mom wants to sell Walter. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, I'll let people know. Like, I wasn't really in the spot to buy another. Like, I didn't really need one because I had Donna and I was happy with her. And
yeah,
I was just like, oh, whatever. And she's like, well, we would really like for you to try him. Like, I think you would suit him well, but like, you need to come soon. And they were in Arizona. And I'm like, okay, well,
here we go.
Like, yeah, let me just think on it. And so I'm like, just thinking on it. And they tell me, like, okay, well, like, if you're not going to make up your mind, like, we are going to do something else, like, tell somebody else. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm like, I guess I will come try him. So I do get a flight to Arizona and I go and try him, and he was super fun. Like, he really wasn't what I thought he was going to feel like from watching him run. And he was just kind and like a good guy. And I thought, well, it wouldn't hurt to have a horse that likes indoors if I'm going to come to Canada. Mm-hmm. And so tried him, got him butt checked, and then I bought him. And I college rodeoed on him at the indoors, and he took me to a few short goes, so it worked out good. But he does get put behind Donna, and I feel bad because he is a great horse too.
He's a special guy too. Oh, cool.
Yeah, sorry, that was a long drawn out story to really not say much, but
no, that was awesome. That was awesome. And so how old is Walter?
He's 11 this year.
Oh yeah.
Or 12, 11 or 12, yeah.
And so those are kind of your two main rodeo mounts then?
Yeah, and I guess the stud that I'm running now is might step up to the plate hopefully at some point. But yeah, those are my two seasoned rodeo vets.
Cool. And what are they up to now? Are they in shape or are they kind of just resting their legs?
They're in shape and ready to go. I ran them both at the Futurity and Derby, in the open last weekend, and they both placed, so that was good. They just need to get their air built up a bit more, but yeah, like, I'm just waiting for there to be a rodeo.
Oh my gosh, I know.
I just try not to think about it.
Speaking of that, Futurity, didn't you set an arena record?
Yes. Well, the stud did.
Well, you are aboard his back.
So yeah, you said that's your next up and comer, and clearly just he's making waves.
Yeah,
so
next up and comer just sets an arena record.
He's up already.
Yeah.
Thanks. He's 6 this year. He's actually owned by Robert Benson. So he's from Clarendon, Texas, which is near where I live in Texas. He kind of got placed in my hands by Robert. He just called me and was like, hey, I have this stud, like, I need him to do something. Like, he's just standing and like he just needs to go, and you're like my last resort before I sell him. Like, I have to do something with him. And I'm like, I was at college and I'm like, I don't really know, like, I've never had a stud before, and I had mares and I just wasn't sure about it. And he kind of kept calling me, and I'm like, okay, fine, I'll take him. And so I got him, and we did everything but run barrels for probably half a year. Like, he just needed to do something different and grow up. So I roped on him and did pulls, and just kind of changed his mindset a bit. And then last summer, I started entering him more and like really putting him on the barrels, and he started figuring it out, and I like his potential really started to shine then. And he was just 5 then. And then I kind of gave him a bit of a break in November last year. I don't know. I hate to push them too much whenever they're babies and they are showing potential. Like, I just want him to love his job and not ever hate it.
Yeah.
I gave him a break, and then I came up here in the end of December and got him legged up, and we started going to these jackpots that they're having, and he just has like just really stepped up to the plate and is getting super solid, which is really nice. And yeah, so he last weekend, he kind of, I don't know, I don't think he could have took the smile off my face for at least like 3 days. I was so excited. I'll derby him this year and hopefully that goes well. And he's, he is getting collected and breeding mares too, which I think says a lot about him. Like, I think I got him collected that week on like Tuesday or something. And then he just goes and does his job. Like, he could care less. I've been around studs, but I've never had one like under my care before him. And I think he's probably made it too easy. Like, I never am really worried with him. He's a gentleman. He hauls in the trailer with the mares just fine. Stan ties at the trailer. Like, I can ride him and sit by a mare. And, like, he's just so kind. I don't know. He might be a once-in-a-lifetime horse as well, because it blows my mind that he works the way he does and tries as hard as he does at just six. Like, I couldn't have never dreamed he would set an arena record.
Yeah, no, that's insane.
And during breeding season too, like you said. So,
and in an arena that you said you've only been there twice, right? So that's huge too. It's not like you're running and training in there all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. He's crazy, and he's like just nice to ride too. Like, he would be one of my first picks whenever we're moving cattle if I wanted to just ride a horse that I could like mosey around and be happy doing the job. That's him. He's like the best.
Aw, that's awesome.
I don't know. I've never been had a stud, and so it's been like just crazy that he would be so good. Like, he's amazing, and his demeanor is amazing, and he's kind and handsome and loves his job and like just wants to please, which seems crazy to me for a stud, because all I thought that they would be worried about was the mare that's standing next to him, you know. But
So what's his name and
Papas.
Pedigree.
So his registered name is HR Chase in his memory. He's by Chase and Firewater, and out of Go Wilma Dash, who is by Dash to Fame.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah. If anyone wants to look him up, nice boy.
Yeah, it's been fun. I was just excited. I rode him really bad the first day at Galloway's. Like, he didn't do anything wrong, but I hindered his ability a bit, I felt like. And he still placed in the 1D. Well, we didn't win money, but he was in the 1D, and I was just kind of disappointed with my riding. And then I came back to Rimby and kind of just was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you... I was pulling on him at Galloway, just like holding him up. I'm like, what are you doing? He knows what he's doing. And Colby Gilbert is my good friend. And she was like, just go. Like, why are you going? Like, why are you pulling on him? Just go fast. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go fast. And so then he, set the arena record. And I guess I could probably give Colby some credit for telling me to quit being a pansy pretty much and just go.
Just send it.
Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we've taken a couple Colby and Andrea clinics, and they're so awesome.
Yeah, they were so fun on the podcast, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're so knowledgeable, and it's always nice. Colby has been a huge part of my success in Canada. Like, first year, she helped me enter everywhere, and we hauled together. And
nice.
And the second year. But, like, she's just a good friend. She is always happy for you whenever you have success, and like, even if it's not going her way, she always roots for you and wants you to do well. And I think that's, like, seriously been a huge reason why I've been successful in Canada, because I've had good people behind me. Like, whenever you come from 1,000 miles away to a place, like, it could be intimidating, but it's been good to have good people like that around.
Yeah.
Well, that means so much, right? Like, you're as good as the people that you travel with, really, because you have to have someone that's bringing you up and doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so do you have some other horses on the go as well?
I have actually a Boonlet, but he's all cow, like, obviously Boonlet's cow and then his mom's cow, but he's 4 and I've been breakaway-ing on him and he's gone around the barrels a bit. And then I stole one of Keeley's horses, actually, kind of, and he's 4 as well. He's all cowbred, but I've been playing with him on the barrels, and I really like him. So maybe if Keeley lets me keep him, I'll keep playing around with him.
Yeah,
nice. Yes. So do you like the full run or more cow or a mix of both?
I would say I like cow run cross. Mm-hmm. But then again, there's Elvis, and I love him, and he's all run. But I think I would say I've had success on like the cow run cross and then all cow. I feel like cowbred horses get downplayed, but I think there's some that are so freaking fast and catty. Like, you can't ever count them out.
No.
So really, I guess the answer is I like everything. I don't know.
Oh, that's funny. I seen Colby post a run. I think it was in Rimby too, and I'm pretty sure it was her Boonlit horse. And oh my gosh, it was a gorgeous run. I don't know what event it was at, but that's a cool looking little horse.
She's awesome, and she's actually a super nice head horse too. Colby won't give herself the credit, but she pretty much trained her as a head horse, and she's sweet. Like,
yeah.
That's what kind of pushed me to buy this Boonlit, but I wouldn't say he's going to be as successful as Salty in the Barrel Pin.
Oh, you never know.
His name will stand out.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. It sounds like there's lots of events going on. Like, they're going to do that Galloway Rimby one again and a bunch of other fraternities. So at least there's those.
Yeah, exactly. Slot races. There'll be stuff to go to.
Yeah. I did have another question I jotted down just from our conversation earlier. So you said that Donna had like tied up pretty bad. And I don't know if we've ever really like talked about, you know, the precautions of that on the show. So, I mean, if you're willing to get into that, of course, everyone knows we're not veterinarians, but like, what do you watch out for? What did you see? And then, you know, what did you do? And then what do you keep in your trailer, I guess, for those kinds of emergency situations now?
Oh, yeah. So what had happened is I had changed her grain because I didn't end up bringing enough grain from the state up here. They didn't have that grain here.
Yeah.
So I was in the process of slowly switching her grain, and I was doing it right, I thought, like just slowly adding it in with her other grain until I was out of her good grain. Mm-hmm. And so all was well, and I actually... The worst part is that she was with one of my friends. She, Mariah Mannering, was taking care of her in BC while I flew home to college so I could come back for Armstrong. And Mariah got on her to exercise her, and she called me and she's like, hey, does Donna usually like sweat this much and have her head on the ground pretty much whenever you're exercising her? And I'm like, no, usually she's like a fire-breathing dragon and stretching out long trotting across the field. And she's like, I think something's really wrong with her. And I'm like, okay, well, just like unsaddle her and kind of watch her and see how she is after a bit. So she does, and then she calls me and she's like, it is not getting any better. And I'm like, okay, well, just call a vet. Like, I just don't want to mess around with it. And then give her like... They gave her Bantamine at first, like just thinking maybe she was colicking or something because it wasn't as bad in the beginning.
Yeah.
And that didn't help. And like just did everything, and nothing was getting better. So they called the vet and she was tying up really, really bad. And it was from me changing her grain.
No, just the change. Yeah.
And I had never done that. I'd never changed her grain since I bought her. So like, and that was the only thing that changed. So I know for sure that's what it was.
Yeah.
And so poor Mariah, she called the vet. The vet came out like, this is like one of the worst cases of tying up I've ever seen. Like,
oh my God.
Her pee was like blood. And oh my God, I felt so bad. Like, it was terrible. And so they gave her like, I can't even remember how many bags of fluid. Like, this was over... probably a 3-day span. Like, they weren't sure if she was going to be okay. And I'm in Texas and Donna's up here and Mariah feels awful, but it wasn't her fault at all. She like slept in the stall with Donna just to make sure like she stayed up and was okay. And so she finally pulled through. Like, I think they said they gave her like 80 liters of fluid or something insane.
Wow.
And just to like clean out all of her system because it was bad. And so then she lost like all of her muscle mass, everything. She looked like so bad. I felt so bad for Donna and Mariah. And yeah, like Mariah's just there. It could have happened to anybody, and she felt so bad, and she was trying to do everything, but you can't really do much at that point. Like, give her muscle relaxers and fluids, and like pray that it all passes through and you're done with it. And luckily it did. It just like really took a toll on Donna.
Yeah.
And you know what? And so, thank God she had, like, Mariah noticed too, right? Like, it's not like she was like, oh, maybe she's just lazy today or a lazy day. It was actually like, hey, like, is something wrong here?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was so thankful she was with Mariah, because she pays attention to everything and like was treating her like she was her own. And like I said, I've made so many good friends in Canada that have my back and would do anything for me. And like, that's just another example. I don't know. I think it's true whenever they say like Canadians are the nicest people, because I don't really know if I've met a bad one yet.
Oh, well, we're glad to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of what happened. So like, I took her off of all grain after that for a minute. And I actually, whenever I flew back up, it was for Armstrong, I rode Taylor's horse, which I was grateful for that. And I picked Dawn up and I took her straight to Cooley Equine after that. And Katie did all of the rehabbing to bring her back. So I owe her a big thank you too. And like, it's probably like 2 months before Donna was finally like back to herself, which really sucked, because I felt like it was my fault. I changed her grain and threw her off, and like, now I know to never do that again.
Yeah. But, were you so nervous to put her, you know, back on any kind of feed?
Yeah, actually Katie brought her back very slowly. I think she started out with like just oats or something, and and oil. Like, we were just trying to build her back up, but without causing it to happen again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so,
fine line.
Like, Katie at Cooley kind of played a huge part in getting her back too.
Yeah. We love Cooley.
We do love Cooley.
Yeah.
Me too.
So was it like almost like an allergy, or was it just like, because that's, if it was like one of the worst cases they ever seen, like, that's crazy.
So the grain I had butcher to had soy in it, and I think that's what set her off. It was just an overload of soy, and I don't think her body could process it the way other horses could with that grain.
Crazy. And so what do you keep in your trailer for that type of emergency situation? Again, just some Banamine you kind of always make sure you have?
Yeah, like, I for sure have muscle relaxers now. Like Ace, if they're tying up, you're probably better off to give them Ace than Banamine, is like, from my knowledge.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not a vet, so don't take that and run with it, I guess. But I always keep electrolytes too.
Yes.
I'm kind of stocked up now from that little experience, just because of the stuff I had to buy at the time, like.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Muscle relaxers, and then vitamin E is great to bring them back if they do tie up. Okay. So I have that in my trailer, and like electrolytes, of course, I always have.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I have.
Do you kind of just do electrolytes when you're in season, like kind of consistently during that time?
Yeah. So Donna runs on Lasix, and so every time after I run her, I give her electrolytes just to replenish her. And then with my other horses, I more so would give them electrolytes just like whenever it's super hot and we're hauling a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we really need to talk about your CFR and, Calgary experience as well.
I want to know what your journey to get there too. Like, what was your favorite rodeo at the time? And like, I know it was like a super tight like window that you got into the CFR. So like, I couldn't even imagine your mindset going into that run. I'd be like, I can't. Sorry. The pressure is too great.
Yeah. So the first year I made CFR was like a dream of a season. Like, Donna was placing everywhere, and it got me into Calgary for the following year. So
yeah.
I don't know. My first year up here was like a dream. I I can't even think of one bad thing that happened that year. So that it started off really good my time in Canada. And like I said, it qualified me for Calgary for the next year. And I rodeoed and whatever. It was just going all right, like not that great. And I got to go to Calgary, which, oh my gosh, that place is amazing. Like,
I want to know everything about Calgary.
Yeah, I was pretty much like, I left Ponoka the night that I had to be checked in, and I'm like, well, like, I hope I can figure it out, because, like, it's not like Colby's coming with me to lead me around, like.
Yeah, and you're going right downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For that one.
Yeah, like, I had never been to even watch, so, and I drug Keely along with me, so he kind of knew how to get into Calgary, into the rodeo, and, like, so that part was good, but, and you get there, and they're, like, just so amazing to you, like, unlimited, whatever you need. Like, they're there for the contestant. Have nice stalls and, like, any kind, as many bags of shavings you want, they'll bring you. And, like, yeah, they're, it's just so awesome. And then, yeah, I got to go and do, like, my first practice or whatever. And I was just like, oh, my God, this is, like, where dreams come true. Like,
yeah.
You never think of being there. Like, it's always, yeah, a goal, but then once I finally got there, I was like, oh my gosh, like, thanks, Donna, this is awesome. And she was just like taking it all in, just happy to be there. And it was really cool because Jesse was there with Cool Whip too, so
he had trained cool.
and raised two horses that were there. Yeah,
full sibling.
So yeah, that was super cool.
Yeah. Oh, no
doubt. It's, and like the ground was amazing, like, for as many runs, and the mud they had had, and I was in pool B, so pool A was like muddy, and they were still running like 17 O's on the standards. Like,
oh, that's my God. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's wild.
And so, yeah, like, I made my first run, and I think I won third and like go around, and like, I mean, I felt like I won first, but it was just so fun. Like, the crowd is so loud, and the big screen, and like, everybody watching from home, sending you videos, which was even cooler. Like, and I think it was my birthday too, that I ran there.
Nice.
So it was even better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I ended up like one out of making it back in my pool. So I ran in the wild card, and actually Donna slipped and fell. So that kind of took me out of it. But like, I don't know. It's one of those rodeos that, like, I can't even remember everything that I did there because it was all so fun.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
was just, like, taking it all in the moment.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, that was, it was awesome. I hope I get to go there again sometime.
What was it like, running down the alleyway? Like, the cheers from the stands and, like, everything? Was it, like, almost blackout moment, or were you, like, right there with it? I feel like I blackout.
I would say...
especially like, there yeah
I just remember how Donna walked down that alley like she was the like she knew what we were about to do, and she was confident, and so like it just made me that more confident. And I was just like kind of in the moment, like I could hear everybody, but I was also like, oh my God, like I'm running at the Calgary Stampede and my horse is running down a run. And yeah. like I'm sitting here, but it was so fun. Like I could just hear everybody yelling, and like the announcers were so fun, and the alleyway's awesome, and the run home's awesome, and everything in between. I don't even know.
Yeah, yeah. I was that like the last year that it did happen, or was that the year before?
Yeah.
Yep. That was last year. Happened.
We were there too.
Yeah.
Oh, were we? Oh. Yeah, we were.
Maybe the year before.
The year before. Yeah.
We were just watching. But yeah, even I've never been to a rodeo like that. You know, like the Jumbotron and the intro music. And oh God, yeah. I had tears like streaming down my face of excitement just being in the crowd. I was like, this is amazing.
I was passed out from heat stroke in the crowd. It was like plus 40 that day. It was so hot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like, I don't even know what it would take to put on the production that big.
No,
and then no doubt.
Still, like, make sure the contestants are, like, I felt like we were the number one priority. But I know they have a million other things going on.
Yeah, Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people say that about, you know, specifically that rodeo is just unreal. Their hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. They're awesome.
Yeah.
So we heard what you did like in the arena, but I'm kind of curious like what your plan was when you were off your horse. Did you go to like go do early nights in bed? Did you stay up and kind of like chat with people? What's it like being an athlete at that level? And I would just want to know like everything you did to really make yourself mentally strong for that really, really tough competition.
Yeah, I would say like, of course, like you have to, the practices are in the morning. So if you want to go and get your horse out and ride in the arena, like you want to be able to get up and do that and feed your horse before and do all the things. So, like I'm kind of a boring person, I guess. Like I like my sleep a lot. Like I like to have fun too, but if I'm tired, I'm just going to go to bed so I can get up and be in a good mood in the morning. Like we would run and then get some supper and go to bed and wake up and all over again. Like wake up, go to practice, kind of eat lunch, have a quick nap, and then it's rodeo time.
Yeah.
And then you're done with the rodeo and you take care of your horse again and get them out and do all of that. And then it's time for bed. And so it kind of goes by. We went to one of the like night shows or whatever that they had like one night and it was fun, but I was ready for bed. Like, I feel like it's you're exhausting. So excited and your adrenaline's going. And then by the end of the day, you're just like tired.
Yeah. From the waves of emotion all day and all week, it's like up and down, up and down. And it just makes you sleepy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can't imagine being like, hey, you're doing interviews and all of this. Tired, and she still kicks our ass every time. And it's amazing. I mean, I was just like, I wasn't even at the level that Haley was, but I was having the best time and tired. And that was kind of what I did. Like, I'm probably pretty boring because I didn't do anything that fun, but I had fun.
I think, if you want to be in the game, and that's me too. Like, if I want to wake up in the morning not grouchy, I need 8 hours.
It's so
close to it.
It's so funny, like, hearing like barrel racers' perspectives, because like we go to like the PBR Canada finals every year, and it's like the night, like it'll be like the night we get there and everyone's like, let's go to the bar, and then the next day they ride the next day, and then the next night everyone's like out till 4 a.m. again. It's like, how do you guys do this?
I know. I don't know how they do that either, because I would be a really grumpy person the next day.
Yeah.
So what was it like then running in Red Deer at the CFR? And how did it compare?
Red Deer was really fun. The first year I went, I only had Donna with me, and she did awesome. And, like, it was my first CFR, so I was, like, really pumped, and it was so much fun. And, like, it's hard to beat a rodeo, like that. Like, everybody's happy to be there. It's fun. Like, you get to see your favorite people. You get to run your favorite horses. Like, the crowd's loud.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, I don't know. It's just fun and nice. And so, yeah. And then my second year, I ran Walter the first 4 rounds, I guess, and he did really good. And it was fun for me to get to showcase him.
Yeah.
That was probably, like, my highlight of my second CFR, was like he finally got to be in the spotlight and he stepped up.
Aww.
And won some money in some rounds, and I won second in the average that year, which was fun. And like that was my first, I think that was my first 2 runs back on Dawn after she had tied up too, and I won money on her. And like, it was just overall like a good CFR. Like, I didn't win a round or anything, but my horses just felt really good, and I was just happy to be there. Like, I had Donna back, and Keely made his first CFR that year, so that was really fun both of us to make it.
Yeah.
And my whole family was up here. I don't know. It's just fun, things like that, whenever, like,
you get to see what you worked for all year finally, mm-hmm. like, come to fruition, or however that word goes. But, I don't even know how to explain it. I sound like I'm probably rambling to you.
No,
guys,
you're not.
But it's just like when you achieve your goal and you see it there, like, in your hand, it's like, oh my gosh, like, my horses are awesome. I have great people behind me, great sponsors. Like, what more in the moment could you want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it sounds like it was an all-around amazing experience.
Yeah. I really can't think of anything that was bad about it other than I was super tired the last day and had to drive back to Texas the next day for college. So,
you had to drive back to Texas? Okay, so did you, like, finish your degree? And, like, that's insane. I couldn't imagine having all this going on and then wanting to go back to school. I'd be like, you know what? Peace. Like, I'm college dropout.
That's how it kind of felt. Like, I was just over it. And I still had horses at college. I left, my rope horses and stuff. And so my poor roommates and my dog, like, they're having to take care of all my stuff at home. I'm just gallivanting to Canada and rodeoing.
Like, making the CFR, but, like, going back to Texas.
Yeah, awesome. Like, I can't even tell you how many times my roommates had to drive me at 5 a.m. to the airport, like, weekly. And I owe so many people, like, gift cards or something. But, 'cause, like, it really takes a lot of people to get you to where you, like, I felt like where I was.
Yeah,
like, I was having success, but there was a million people behind the scenes helping me out.
It's really cool to hear you say that too, because some people could be like, yeah, I did it all on my own. But, like, you really appreciate everyone that helped you along the way. So that's really cool to hear.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I couldn't have done it on my own. I know that.
So, kind of like moving into a little bit of today. So you were going to college, university. So, yeah, what did you take there? And then now, how does it tie into what you do today?
Yeah, so my degree is in agricultural communication. So I guess if you guys ever need to hire another person, just call me, because that's kind of what I learned to do. But
we might take you up on that.
We might take you up on that. Stephen might be busy for a little while.
You guys are better than me, I think. You might not want me.
No, this is going awesome.
The only reason why that the podcast is good is because Steph cuts out lots of the stupid shit that I say.
Okay. Cut mine out too, please. So I would say, like, I had to move back home because of COVID and school. Like, literally one day they're like, all right, you guys aren't allowed to be here anymore because of COVID. And, we're finishing the semester online, so see you never. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, Mom and Dad, I'm coming back home. Then I went home and helped my parents around with our cattle and all that. And I started taking a few outside horses, and that's kind of what I did for the last summer. I rode a lot of horses and got to, like, ride other people's amazing horses, which was really fun. Mm-hmm. And then I have a work visa to be up here, actually working for the Bonnet. Get to be around cattle and still ride horses every day. And that's what I'm doing for now. Probably in the next year or so, I would really like to get something that is super focused on what my degree was in. But if I have the opportunity to keep riding horses, I kind of wouldn't mind doing that either.
Exactly. Yeah.
So just as a random question I'm going to throw at you, just because I think of random questions when I look at the walls down here. I don't know.
For sure.
But what's it like being so far away from your family? Like, I am only like 5 hours from my mom and dad, but I like kind of feel guilty that like I don't go and see them as often as I can. And it sounds like your parents are super involved in your life and your success. So what's it like having like a strong support system but not being able to see them every day? Because I'm sure that's also very tough.
Yeah. So like I would come up here for those summers, and that's like 3 or 4 months. And that was like not so difficult. Like it was fine, and they came up and did whatever. That part was pretty easy. But now that it's kind of long term that I'm living here, I will say whenever I pulled out of the driveway in December, I cried for a whole hour. Aww. Until like I was like, I'm going to turn around. And I'm not like that kind of person that is like attached to having to be at home. And like, my parents have done well. And like, I've gone and done things and been away from them. So it's not like that at all. But yeah, it was hard. Like whenever I first left in December, just because it's like, it's a big life change. Like that, it means your life is taking another step in a direction that like, not everything is like you and your parents' decision anymore. So that was kind of crazy. But
yeah,
I would say like I go in a bit of phases. Like I do, it's good and I love it up here and I still talk to my parents every single day, but some days do suck and I just want to go home and see them. And I have a little brother who's still in high school and his basketball team like won state this year. So it's disappointing like to miss out on things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's also fun to see like my future moving ahead and like my life that like come like see what it's gonna be, I guess, if that makes sense. Like,
oh, for sure.
I would say it's not hard this year because my family can't come up because of all the restrictions. So
yeah,
and going home is, I can do that, but then I have to deal with all the stuff coming back to Canada. And it's like, I think I'll just pray and wait it out and hopefully my parents can get up here sooner than later.
Yeah. Yeah. If it was normal, at least, you know, you guys can fly back and forth and they can come up for a rodeo and you can have a good time, but it's just a little more difficult right now.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't know if that's really a good answer to your question. Like I just take it in stride and whenever I'm missing them, I call them and visit and everything is fine after that. Like, sometimes you do just like miss your mom or just miss your dad and that stinks and all, but I guess it's part of growing up too. Like I think I'm really lucky to have parents that support my decisions and like they were excited and happy for me to come up here and like, they just keep saying it's part of growing up. You'll be okay. We miss you and you miss us, but it'll all work out how it's supposed to be. So that's what I just try and tell myself. Like, this plan was made before I could have ever even thought of it. So like just follow along and see where it takes you.
Yeah.
I think it took you down a pretty successful career here in Canada. That's for sure.
I feel bad for my parents a bit now though, cause I have broodmares and recips and they're having their babies and they're having to deal with that. So they're probably not missing me that much now that they're having to deal with all that.
Oh, damn Shelby and all her horses. Yeah. Cause it's busy season for that. Right.
Yeah.
Now. Oh, so like, tell us a little bit about that. You like having some mares and breeding them, and who are they bred to? What babies are you having?
What's cooking?
Yeah, so I have a little mare that I high school rodeoed on and filled my permit on, and I actually just made a Facebook post about her today. She ran my first 16 on the standard. Like she was, she was my horse before Donna, and she was pretty cool too. She's just a little mare that is all like ranch cowbred. It's insane that she's even was even fast. Like she was just a freak. So she just had a Nixter colt last Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah, so I've had my eyes set on Nixter for a while and I think he's amazing, so I had to get one and hopefully it's amazing. And then I have a recip that has a Donna baby that's going to be by Slick by Design, which I'm super excited about. Yeah. And then I have a mare that I team roped on in high school who's just going to have a cowbred baby. So just a little bit of everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Nixter, like the most recent stallion photo that she has of him, like I think he just looks picture freaking perfect in that picture. Well, so many pictures.
Oh my gosh, I agree. He's like, he's the googly eyes over him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's so, you know, proven as a sire too. And roping and barrel racing. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. Yeah,
exactly. And now that, like, I'm around Colby and Andrea a lot, and Andrea is so nice. I'm like,
yeah, she's running one.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Hers is super nice. He's 4 this year, I think. So this makes me excited.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And yeah, Slick with Donna. Oh, that's just like,
that's going to be chef's kiss.
Yeah.
I hope so. Somebody was like, well, what do you want? And I'm like, I just want it to have 4 legs and 2 eyes and come out alive. Like, yep. I don't even care.
Yeah.
As long as it's healthy, it'll be good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so fun. That's really exciting, like, to see that unfold. And actually, like, Jesse and then my friend Rainey, who showed me Hot Donna, they both have Donna babies, I guess. They're, like, 2 and 4 this year. So
oh, cool.
I'm, like, I always text them, like, hey, are you ready to sell one yet? And they're like, no.
We're good.
Who knows? Yeah. One day you'll probably get the call, just like for your other Walter there.
Walter. I love that name. I'm obsessed with it.
Me too. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you said first 16 on a standard. Have you ran a couple 16s on a standard?
No, I skipped one. I shouldn't say first. I should say my only 16 on a standard. I've been a 17.0 on Donna a few times, but sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's bad.
What did it feel like to run a 16 on a freaking standard?
Yeah, was it? Did it feel faster than your other runs? Like, did you know it was fast when you turned third barrel?
The bad part about it is, like, I was in high school, so, like, a freshman in high school, so I didn't really know, like, how cool that was. Like,
oh, okay.
I was like, oh, good job, Jenny. Like, yeah, we won the high school rodeo.
Then, we were pinning it to like, win it.
Now that I've gotten older, I'm like, holy cow, that was like, I can't believe that. That was so fun. Amazing. Like, yeah. People dream of doing that, and there I was, not even appreciating it. It's funny how whenever you get older, things like that, like, you realize the.
It was a revelation.
Yeah. Your like reaction, like, yay, we won the high school rodeo.
That's literally how it was.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been really liking asking people this question lately. Like, people at the top, they know, you know, never stop learning. So what's something that you're working on or you're working on with your horses going into this season?
Well, let me think for a second. I would say, like, on Walter, I need to stay out of his way. So I'm really, like, I've really been trying to just let him work and not pick on him. Like, he knows what he's doing, and whenever I mess with him, it just kind of makes him mad. So, like, on him, I'm really focusing on staying quiet and just letting him do his job. On Elvis, I'm trying to be, like, more confident in, like, his ability. Like, I know he can do it too, so I'm trying to keep my hands quiet on him and, like, just let him figure out that he can run.
Yeah.
I don't really know if that's a good answer for that. And then Donna, she just does her thing, and I am along for the ride, and she's awesome.
Yep. Cool.
I would say on my young horses, I'm really trying to be focused on, like, keeping them soft and subtle, and, like, keeping their rib cage and shoulders opened up. Just, like, being able to place them wherever I want, whenever I want, without having a fight or anything, would be my big thing, I guess, I'm focusing on right now, probably. Yeah.
So do you, like, so you said with Hot Donna, you don't do any drills, you just go ride the fields. With your other horses, you like to keep them soft and supple and whatnot. So do you do any barrel work or other drills at home with them?
So I kind of do, I'm kind of bad because I don't really work barrels all that much. Like, I kind of just like to ride out in the field and work on things, not necessarily with a barrel, but if I do have barrels, like, on the stud or Walter, for say, like, I'll do, like, the loping or the same direction around the barrels, the three barrel drill or whatever. I really like that. I like to back my horses up a lot. Like, I like to build up their top line, keep them collected. I would say I back up a lot, which isn't very exciting, but I do that.
Well, that's like a simple thing that people can do that, you know, maybe we often
overlook.
Just kind of forget about, but just, you know, backing up a little bit every day is going to help that booty.
Yeah. Get that booty popping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I feel like it makes them be in your hands a bit more too. Like, they learn to listen to what you're asking a bit more if you're backing them up, then, like, they're in your hands and you can do whatever, you can play from wherever and do whatever you want. Like, I like, not to keep talking about Keely, my boyfriend, but
he's like, I talk about mine all the time on the podcast, so don't worry, it's all good.
I don't know. I learned so much from him. He, like, his heel horses are probably, like, the brokest horses I've ever been on. And I think, like, a lot of that could be taken back to my girl horses. Even the backing up, like, he told me, like, that you need to do that. Like,
okay,
back them up in circles and keep them collected and keep their feet where you want them. Mm-hmm. So I would say, like, that's probably why I don't do a lot of barrel work, because I like to watch Keely and then go and try and do what he did and figure out what it does, like how he makes them feel that way by doing that, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's good. That's good information.
Yeah, it is. And even backing him up in, like, circles, like you said, like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
People don't think, like, of that.
Yeah. Such a random thing, but I do think it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah, to be able to back him up into a circle each direction, or even, you know, a square.
Yeah.
Wherever you want to put them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I get to watch Colby a lot too, and I like to watch her work her horses. Like, sometimes I won't even take my horses. I'll just go and watch her ride.
Yeah.
And just try and, like, picture, like, feel what I'm watching her do, like how I think it would feel. And I could never replicate how good Colby trains a horse, but, like, I would like to go back and make my horses be able to do that feel that I think she's having.
Yeah.
I try and do that sometimes too, if that even makes sense. But
oh yeah,
totally.
Oh, and I think it's cool how you take principles from, like, roping and then from people in the barrel industry. That's
mm-hmm.
that's important to switch it up and look in other places for things that relate back to your mindset and program too. So
yeah,
like, I probably don't even do the stuff the way Keely or Colby does it, but I try, and I like to learn. Like, mm-hmm. it's so fun to just watch people and then try and, like, process why they're doing that. Like, what are they trying to accomplish by doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's really cool. I love learning from watching people. So what would you say that maybe, like, a couple secrets to your success or pillars of your foundation, other than the backing up and getting them nice and soft and supple, that, because, like, you haven't had success on just one horse. Like, it's been so many horses. So yeah, what's some things, maybe, like, your secret weapon or?
I would say, like, I think it's just, this is might not be the answer you're looking for, I'm not really sure, but, like, I feel like since I have been young, my parents put me in places where I could have mentors that, like, I feel like I've just been able to learn my whole life and be around people that are successful
mm-hmm.
and take bits and pieces from everyone. Like, in high school and junior high, I rode a lot with the McConnell family. They're from where I live, and I would go there and spend weeks at a time, and, like, just, like, watching them and then them helping me is made a huge difference. And then, like, even getting to be connected with Jessie through Hot Donna, like, she's taught me a lot, and
mm-hmm.
even, like, with conditioning and things like that, I think it's just that I've been lucky enough to be around a lot of good people that have taught me a lot of things. Like, I don't even know if it's specifically anything I do that is different from anybody else. Like, I try and have a super good exercise program and feed program, but I think I've just learned a lot from everybody, and it's really helped my foundation, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's a great answer. And honestly, I feel like that's something, especially at a young kid, can't really be taught, because, like, I've seen this in hockey all the time, like, because I used to coach hockey and I played my whole life. And there's so many kids that are so talented, but they won't learn, like, they're not coachable. And I feel like that, like you saying that you were put in situations where you, like, just absorbed everything is awesome. Like, mm-hmm. even, like, some days I have, like, if me and Cole go riding and he's like, oh, you're doing this wrong, and I just, you know, it's your first reaction is to get a little defensive, and
yeah,
and it's just, like, being able to absorb everything that you can is, like, mm-hmm. a huge talent, and I feel like people overlook that.
Yeah,
like, I don't know if I have it mastered yet. I do get defensive sometimes. I'm like, oh, I'm doing it right, why are you telling me I'm doing that wrong? But
yeah,
it's so crazy. Like, if we would just sit and watch, there's so many things we could learn. I like it's I mean, even as you get older, it's like, why don't sometimes I just sit and watch instead of wanting to ram and jam and figure it out right then, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I think a super interesting place to watch, you have to get up early, but is like the Time Only is at a fraternity too. Yeah. You know,
oh my God. Yes. That's
probably one of my favorite places to just watch and observe.
You're going
to
be that old lady in the back with like the butt pad
all the time.
And you're just going to be like sitting there.
Oh, for sure. That's already
with the visor on.
That's already me.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like there's so much to be learned. Like I'm sure I still have loads and loads of things to figure out. But I also think like the horses I've been lucky enough to ride and be around have made a huge difference. Like,
yeah,
I don't, good they're horses. All amazing. I know I say Dawn is my once in a lifetime, but like, if I think back to like whenever I was just a little kid, my parents always had me on nice horses. And I think that makes a huge difference because it makes your confidence high. Like, yes. You're excited and it makes you want to win and it makes you want to go out and practice.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
I owe a lot to my parents too. They set my foundation and like kept driving me to be the best I could.
Yeah. Yep. They put you in good situations and around good people, but they planted like the Nadine seed. Said, you were able to absorb it all and wanted to absorb it all. So.
Oh yeah. Like yeah. Literally there's this, I will always remember like coaching this one kid in hockey and his parents played hockey and he had all the abilities, but it just wasn't coachable. And it's just like,
just can't you just help you. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta be saved.
At this stage. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. The more like you said, like always learning, always researching, like even like with us at home, like I'll go ride my horse and then I come inside and I watch like the Cowboy Channel or I watch Horse Pro TV and you know, you're just watching training and riding videos all the time. I mean, it could be like it could be a lot, but you also are.
Oh, it's a lifelong
thing. Like you learn so much. Like I've said this on the podcast before, but I spent like a month and a little bit with a reining trainer last summer and I've never, like I came out a totally different rider than I went going in there.
Yeah, that's just it. It's crazy. Like the amount of knowledge that is in this world just about horses is crazy.
Oh yeah. I know. It's funny because when we started this podcast, like people who like aren't in the horse world are like, oh, like you guys are probably going to run out of people to talk to. And it's like, no, there's so many.
Yeah, exactly.
There hasn't even really been like that much rodeos and we haven't run out of people to talk to. So
no,
I know.
So this one is kind of out of left field, but we like to hit everyone with it.
Yeah.
Do you have any like funny or embarrassing stories like with horses or down the rodeo trail that come to mind?
Oh gosh. I'll have to think on this one. I guess my embarrassing story would be missing injuries at freaking Panoka.
Yeah, that's actually probably
That's a heartbreaking.
It's not embarrassing, it's definitely heartbreaking. But like I guess the purpose of this question was to like bring people that were like everyone looks up to, like make it so that they do make the same mistakes as like we do every single day. So like that part I think really like brings it like, oh, like, you know, mm-hmm. like that happened before. Yeah. Like Emily Miller missed her time in like Wainwright, like at the pro rodeo there. Like, you know what I mean? It's like people like that like it happens.
I don't know. And stuff like that happens, I think. So you have to, like, it's just a good reminder. Like, mm-hmm. always make sure before entries close. And like, I guess that would be considered my hometown rodeo in Canada because I live in Panoka. Like, how dumb for me to miss entries.
Did you even go watch or were you just like, I don't even want to be there?
Oh, yeah. I had to go watch. Well, I didn't have to, but I did because Keely and his brother were roping. And then you get the question a million times, when are you up? Well, actually, I'm not. Like, just decided not to enter this one. Like, what?
I didn't need to. Have you seen the soundings? Just kidding.
I definitely did need to. Yeah. That's the problem. I don't know. I'm sure there's been a lot of embarrassing or dumb things that I've done, but I can't. They're not coming to mind at the moment.
We just slammed you with that question.
That's one of the ones where it's like hard to think of something on the spot. Yeah. So
we should have told you yesterday, but we're like, meh. We suck.
We'll try winging it.
Call my mom and ask her. Yeah.
That was awesome. You were cool with, like, you know, outline or no outline, but maybe that's your degree pulling through too. You're like, oh, I got this.
Communications. That's what I took in school too.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like sometimes it's easier to talk when you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But no, we really, really appreciate you taking time out of your Sunday morning to sit down with us and, yeah, chat. Well, I love when people, yeah, share their stories, and your story was really, really cool.
Yeah.
I've been lucky and blessed, and, like, I don't know. It all comes from the people that help me out, and my horses. Like, I don't know. I try and be very thankful, and who would have ever thought whenever you're kids, like, things like this would happen? Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it is for sure. I'm sure that you sound like a super, super nice human being, and I'm sure everybody around you that you do appreciate so much, they know that for sure.
Yeah, you sound like a Canadian.
Yeah.
You sound so sweet.
Not one of those Texans, is what you're thinking. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Mm-hmm.
Well, Shelby, like we said, thank you so much for coming on the show. We are so honored to have you on with us. And we will let you take us out of this podcast.
Hey, thanks. Get rich or ride trying.
Well, that's a wrap, folks. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, and be sure to head on over to www.horsepoorpodcast.com and grab yourself some Horsepoor merch.
Be sure to follow along on Facebook and Instagram, where you will find a link to our Patreon where you can subscribe for only $5 a month for a whole extra episode and a lot more content.
And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you never miss an episode. Leave us a review, tell a friend, and the most important, get rich or ride trying.